It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore J.R.R. Tolkien's fantasy creations and how his manuscripts influenced literature and society with help from the J.R.R. Tolkien Collection at Marquette University that represents an extraordinary body of literary papers, 11,000 original manuscripts, multiple working drafts of The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And now an exhibit opens Friday at Marquette's Hagerty Museum of Art called Tolkien, The Art of the Manuscript. Join in, 800-642-1234. Sarah Schaefer is an assistant professor of art history at UW-Milwaukee, co-curated this exhibition of Tolkien's manuscripts. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. William Fliss is here as well, archivist and curator of the Tolkien Collection at Marquette, and of course had a hand in bringing this exhibit to life. Bill, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, Bill, can you give us a sneak peek? What can visitors expect when they walk through this exhibit?
Oh, it's a wonderful exhibit. What you can expect to see are a number of really interesting pieces from Marquette's collection. As you mentioned in the lead-in, there are over 11,000 pages of manuscript material here at Marquette. And so we've selected a portion of those to show in the exhibition. And also, it's very exciting, we've also reached out to the other great place in the world to go for Tolkien manuscripts, and that's the Bodleian Libraries at the University of Oxford in the UK, where J.R.R. Tolkien spent most of his adult life as a professor. Mm-hmm. And we requested and received permission to borrow a number of items from their collection as well. And so we're bringing together works from our two repositories into the Hagerty Museum, where fans and just casual visitors, people with an interest in language, in literature, in manuscripts can come and enjoy the show.
Sarah, how do you reflect on who Tolkien represents and what you decided to put on display? Because there is this wealth of material that could go into the exhibition. You know, how did you think about Tolkien in reflection of what you wanted to put up?
Yeah, well, we were coming on the heels with this exhibition of a couple of really fantastic and comprehensive exhibitions on Tolkien and his work, one that was mounted at the Bodleian and then at the Morgan Library and Museum in New York, and another one that was at the National Library in Paris. And the sort of benefit of having those exhibitions recently was that it sort of took the onus off of us to try to do something comprehensive. So we instead thought about, well, what are Marquette's strengths? What are the strengths of the Tolkien collection at Marquette? And kind of came to this idea of the manuscript. And the manuscript in a couple of different ways. So one, we have the manuscript as the working drafts, in many cases, unpublished versions of these iconic texts, and then also manuscripts as just handwritten documents. And these were the kinds of objects, the kinds of texts that Tolkien studied and worked with as a philologist at Oxford. And so we honed in on this relationship between those two aspects of the manuscript. And one of the things I'm most excited about and that I sort of became familiar with in researching the exhibition, and that is a core element of it, is how medieval manuscripts, these sources that he worked with closely, how they kind of wend their way in different ways into his legendarium, into the stories that we're so familiar with.
Something to me that's really interesting, Bill, is that, you know, as you talk about manuscripts, Tolkien lived in an era when letters were the main form of communication. You sat down and you wrote a letter, a very thoughtful letter. You didn't text someone, you didn't, you know, post your missives on Twitter. How do his letters give insight into his manuscripts, insight into his life and his writings?
Well, his letters are a really valuable source in Tolkien studies, those people who study Tolkien, because he was a prodigious letter writer, and he oftentimes was very thoughtful in his letters and used them as a platform to really explore his own thoughts about something. And so his letters are very important in that way. And also, one of the things we're highlighting in the exhibition is his artistic ability, particularly in calligraphy, and his handwriting could be absolutely beautiful, different scripts he might use. And so his letters are oftentimes a joy to read just because they're just beautiful, beautiful to look at. Now, some of his working manuscripts are less beautiful. Some of his first drafts, which we have on display in the exhibition, are very difficult to read. And I would challenge some of the visitors to try to make out what he's saying. Some of them are drafts of familiar texts. And so hopefully knowing those who are familiar with the texts will be able to read along and understand what he's saying.
I'm going to reintroduce you both as we talk about the works of J.R.R. Tolkien with Bill Fliss, Marquette University archivist and curator of the Tolkien Collection. Sarah Schaefer is here, assistant professor of art history at UW-Milwaukee, as they talk about the exhibition that opens Friday. You can join in on Tolkien, your questions about the repository, 800-642-1234. Bill, can you give us just a brief backstory as to how Marquette came to acquire so much Tolkien material?
Yeah, it's a remarkable story. I'm happy to give a quick summary of it. It's really remarkable that Marquette has this because Tolkien was English and he never set foot in the United States. So why, you know, the question people ask is, why are these treasures here in Milwaukee on the shores of Lake Michigan of all places? And it's really because of the foresight of the Marquette's library director in the 1950s, William Reedy, who was hired to stock Marquette's library with books and manuscripts. And he was familiar with Tolkien's work. This was just shortly after The Lord of the Rings was published. So it was certainly before Tolkien had become a phenomenon. And he decided that he wanted to inquire about purchasing Tolkien's literary manuscripts. And so he approached Professor Tolkien through an intermediary that acted as Marquette's agent. And sometimes it just pays to be the first to ask. No one else had asked at this point. And Tolkien agreed to sell his manuscripts for what ultimately was four of his works of fiction. We have the manuscripts for The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, which are his two, I think, most famous books. And then two lesser known books, but which are still wonderful. One is called Farmer Giles of Ham, and the other is an illustrated children's book he did called Mr. Bliss. And so the manuscripts have been here. There have been additional manuscripts that have joined the collection over the year, but the core body of manuscripts have been here since 1957, 1958. So they've been here a long time and have drawn researchers to Marquette from all over the world.
And Tolkien died in 1973. I mean, just for frame of reference there, you know, this is in the height of when I would imagine Tolkien is writing, is when you have started to acquire these manuscripts.
Yeah, he was writing his whole life on what's called his legendarium. It's more than just The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. It's a vast body of mythology and world building that he engaged in from the time he was a young man. And one of the neat things about the exhibition is by being able to borrow from the Bodleian's collection, we can bring some of these other works that represent his broader writings and his legendarium here to Milwaukee to be alongside the material that we have for The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. But so he began The Hobbit in 1937, and then The Lord of the Rings followed as a sequel, originally intended as a sequel to The Hobbit, but it grew into much more than that. And it took him many years to write The Lord of the Rings. It was probably about 11 or 12 years before he technically finished a complete draft of it. And then it was there's some additional years while he was getting it ready for publication. So it was a long journey for him.
Sarah, from an art history perspective, what is the significance of Tolkien's manuscripts? Because he also had a whole body of illustrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. There isn't much of an art historical body of literature on Tolkien at this point. And I hope that the exhibition and the catalog will add to that. And there are a lot of kind of weedsy reasons that have to do with disciplinary history that I won't get into. But one of the things that I hope will come through in the exhibition are the kinds of visual sources and things that really informed characteristics of his illustrations of the ways that he thought about objects like manuscripts. So one of the key objects that sort of formed the basis for the exhibition were these were pages that he crafted. They're basically facsimile pages of a manuscript called the Book of Mazerbal that appears in The Lord of the Rings when the Fellowship is in the Mines of Moria. It's this dwarf chronicle, and he created these really amazing basically invented artifacts. So pages of this manuscript that the Fellowship finds that has blood and stab marks and things like that. And he created these illustrations that were supposed to be, or he hoped would be, part of the published Lord of the Rings. And because of the costs that would have incurred, that they didn't ultimately end up in the book. But to me, these are sort of fascinating objects because they really speak to the way that he actually engaged with the medieval manuscripts that he worked with on a daily basis. And that's, you know, thinking about how objects actually come to people, how reproductions affect their way of engaging with objects is something art historians have been interested in for a long time. So one of the things that I got really interested in doing this research was the fact that, you know, he was at the Bodleian, and there are major manuscripts that he published on, that he studied over decades and decades. And many of these were either, like I said, at the Bodleian or even at the British Library, but nearby. But on a day-to-day basis, he wasn't looking at the physical medieval manuscripts. He was actually looking at published facsimiles. And so I got really interested in the fact that, you know, this kind of reproduction of these manuscripts was, you know, very deeply important on just his on a day-to-day basis of his life as a scholar, and actually helped us a lot in organizing the exhibition. We weren't trying to get the, you know, the one copy of Beowulf that exists, for example, the one original manuscript. We could actually put the facsimiles in there because that's what he would have used.
Oh, fascinating. UW-Milwaukee art historian Sarah Schaefer and Marquette University archivist Bill Fliss, they co-curated Marquette's new exhibit called The Art of the Manuscript, drawing from the vast collection of J.R.R. Tolkien manuscripts housed at Marquette's Rainer Memorial Libraries. Join in on this collection, how you view Tolkien in literature and fantasy works, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the literary creations, the fantasy universe of Middle-earth, and the J.R.R. Tolkien repository of his manuscripts at Marquette. An exhibit opens Friday at their art museum featuring nearly 150 items, many never seen before in an exhibit or published. Join in on what you want to know about the Tolkien collection, how you feel about the Lord of the Rings fandom, 800-642-1234. Bill Fliss is an archivist and curator of the collection, and Sarah Schaefer is here, art historian at UW-Milwaukee. They teamed up on the exhibit called The Art of the Manuscript, and they stay with us. So, Bill, Amazon's The Rings of Power, as you are probably anticipating, will drop next month, early next month, one of the most expensive shows ever made. And I'm really curious about fandom, because you at the repository now collect fandom, and I'm wondering how you approach it, how you see it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when that show drops. Honestly, I haven't been keeping close tabs on the Amazon show. I think Sarah is tracking it more closely than I am. But I look forward to seeing it. And it could be, just like with the Peter Jackson films, that show will introduce new people to Tolkien and will generate interest in our exhibition and in the study of Tolkien. Regarding fandom, it's very difficult to collect that. I think once the internet emerged, fandom really proliferated and exploded, and it became very hard to track it. Prior to that, Marquette was we've been documenting fandom usually through the fan magazines and publications that different fan groups would produce. But the fandom's become so enormous, it's quite a challenge. One of the ideas I came up with a few years ago, it's a project I'm still working on, is an oral history collection, brief interviews or testimonials from Tolkien fans, kind of sharing a story about how they connected up with the author and why they like him or why they're a fan and what he's meant to them. And I've been gathering those together in a collection, and that's still ongoing. And one of the opportunities that this exhibition provides is that visitors can either, if they're interested, contribute an interview on site or get information that where they can then go and contribute one afterwards.
It's kind of like a Tolkien Story Corps.
Exactly. In fact, StoryCorps was kind of an influence along with just the general trend in podcasting. I was just trying to find a way to sort of document and provide a snapshot of the fandom. Mm-hmm. I set a very lofty goal of 6,000 interviews. And so I've got a ways to go. So I'm definitely looking forward to events like the exhibition for boosting the number of interviews I have.
Well, Sarah, what about Amazon's The Rings of Power? What do you make of it and Tolkien's works appealing to such a mass audience?
We're just talking about this with Bill and some of our friends from the Bodleian who've been out this week about this. One of the things I love is the fact that you can be a fan and a deep, deep fan in such different ways. And that speaks to just the breadth and depth of this, you know, huge creative body that Tolkien created. As far as the show, I mean, I would say I've been tracking it more closely than Bill has, but not deeply so, mostly just because I like to be immersed in a new, you know, creative venture like that. I don't like to do a lot of deep picking and analysis of it before having seen it, but having watched and listened to a lot of people who are deep fans who've been tracking the things that have come out, it's been fun to see how what may have started as kind of broad sort of skepticism or kind of maybe trepidation about the show, which is coming, you know, it's built out of a very small body of published works, actually. Mm-hmm. So seeing that trepidation kind of morph into more genuine excitement. And I think it just as it's become clear that the people who are involved in the show seem to be, you know, very deep fans as well and very respectful of the material and of the fan community that exists already.
And I think it's interesting that the episodes will launch all at the same time around the world. So fans, you know, they can explore it and feel it all together at once. I found that interesting that Amazon would decide to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look at, let me just reintroduce you here as we talk with Sarah Schaefer, Assistant Professor of Art History at UW-Milwaukee, Bill Fliss, Marquette University Archivist, about the Tolkien collection. Bill, how do you decide what to add to it and when?
Well, I have a lot of networks within the fandom and different sources of information about things to acquire to document that or writings about Tolkien that have emerged. We have tried to be fairly comprehensive at Marquette in terms of collecting new works written about Tolkien. There's quite a burgeoning literature, some of it excellent, some of it maybe not so good, but we try to collect it all and have it. In terms of Tolkien manuscripts that are out there, obviously there's very little out there. It's in terms of the literary manuscripts, really they're all locked up either at Marquette or at the Bodleian, but there are still manuscripts that float around at auction, letters, maybe fragments, pages, advanced proofs of different things. And we found ourselves in a situation where private collectors very much like those things. And so we simply, as an institution, as a repository, struggle to compete with them in acquiring these things. And so we'll oftentimes look for donations. There are people who have, we're correspondents with Tolkien who have donated their letter or letters to Marquette.
We only have a few seconds left, but this is a really fun question to both of you. Really quickly, what would Tolkien say about the COVID pandemic, and where do you think he would have spent his lockdown, and what would he have been doing and writing about? Sarah?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, my guess is he would have been holed up in an office somewhere writing and you know, I don't know, maybe not all that, kind of like me, not all that phased. Like, yeah, I get to be alone and work by myself.
Bill, how about you?
Yeah, I think, I agree. He probably would have been holed up in his study quite a bit. I think it, depending on the nature of the instruction he did and the work he did at Oxford, I think he would, if it afforded him additional free time, I think he would gladly have taken it to begin work on keep working on his stories. He's clearly somebody whose imagination was so fertile. He had so many ideas, and there just wasn't enough time in his lifespan to get them all down. So I think that would have provided him an opportunity to provide us with much more of his creative writing.
Well, Bill and Sarah, thank you both for joining us. Best wishes on the exhibition.
Thank you so much.
Bill Fliss, archivist at Marquette University, curator of their J.R.R. Tolkien collection. Sarah Schaefer, assistant professor of art history at UW-Milwaukee. And that is the Art of the Manuscript exhibit. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.